So we were talking about Zephaniah, and one of the prophets, just like all the other prophets, I'll do a quick recap. Just like all the other prophets, they're always talking about they're not very popular amongst people, right? Because they're always praying about judgment, right? And Zephaniah is no different. The only difference with Zephaniah is he was prophesying during right before the reign of Josiah. And during the reign of Josiah, which is Josiah the good king, right? But he was coming in and prophesying against Josiah's grandfather. I don't know if you guys know his grandfather. Josiah's a good king, but we forget that, you know, they're all linked. The grandfather was King Manasseh. King Manasseh was hailed as like the worst king ever. There's a lot of kings in five, you know, in 3,000 years, but he was the worst king ever. That's you have to do something pretty bad to have that title. Do you guys remember what he did? This was that thing I was signing again. Do you guys remember what he did? Why would he be the worst king? Mabel's, I know. Tell us, Mabel.
He offered your son.
You don't have to touch down. No, no bueno. No time out. I'm like, and then if I was in those days, I would not be very godly either. But if he took my son, but he offered his own son. He set the precedence, and that's really no different than today. It's just covered up much better. Zephaniah was so mad at the prophet, God was through Zephaniah, that if it was a pagan who didn't know God, fine, it's not right. But this is a nation and king that knew Yahweh. And Manasseh says, it's not that, you know, we talked about this last week. It wasn't that he was like, oh, I'm gonna just bend the rules a little bit. Because of my fleshy desires, I'm lazy sometimes. I don't seek God. I didn't do enough devotions. He said, out with everything about Jehovah Yahweh. I am going to bring in Satan. That's how bad it was. This Baal was Satan, right? I'm going to bring Satan into my country, and I'm going to worship Satan. That sounds bad, right? But in reality, that's what he did. And in order, and this is what Satan requires of me when I worship him, sacrifice my own son. And that's what Manasseh did. He sacrificed his own son. And the people of God said, oh, this is how we worship Baal. We shall do so as well. Child, bring in all the child sacrifices. And when you look at this, it's serious stuff. Yeah, I can't imagine, right? This is the people of God doing it. You wonder why Zephaniah is prophesying. So Zephaniah he was concerned about oppression. He was concerned about the welfare of the people, but he's mostly concerned about religious purity. Why are you sacrificing babies to Baal slash the enemy slash Lucifer slash Satan? Right? Crazy, right? I showed these pictures last week. Okay, I know it's grotesque, but these are all different pictures of Baal throughout the centuries. They look similar, don't they? Yes, because it's the same person. All right. This is an old drawing, right? Holding the baby. What? This is the shrine at the Church of Satan in the United States of America. It's real. You can Google it. I did, and I don't want to see it again, but I have to. I was led down there. And you see children. You see children looking up to Baal, to Satan. This shrine was put up during Christmas time at this capital of Iowa while you guys were in Taiwan, right? This was big news. Was it big news to you guys? Was big news? I was like, wow. I don't know if you guys heard of that, but they all look similar. Something going on. Anyways, this is the people of God doing that. Well, not here, not here. This is Chichur's name, but this Manasseh did this in the land of Israel. Okay. Yeah, and we went to. So these were the last. This is where we kind of ended. These are the last days. Zephaniah was talking. The great day of the Lord is near. God is saying to the people of God, to the people, the great day of the Lord. And whenever you see the day of the Lord, he is talking about second coming of Christ. Though this is 4,000 years before that, before Jesus even came on the scene, 3,000 years probably before Jesus came on the scene. Zephaniah didn't know, but Zephaniah is just prophesying the word of God. It is speaking to their current situation. It is also speaking to the day of the Lord when Christ will come back. That's closer to us. So whenever you see the day of the Lord, it is not a happy day for many. And according to scholars, the day of the Lord could be a rapture and taken up. If you believe that we will be raptured before the tribulation, the day of the Lord could be during the tribulation when the Antichrist comes on the scene. So, heavy stuff. I can't go into all detail. I want to, but I think during these times we should really study that more. Any responses or questions so far? Yeah. It's a good day of the Lord. Don't like it one bit. Feel free to jump in. I'm just setting the stage, okay? Yeah, we'll go into what Zephaniah really says about the day of the Lord, right? This is 2 Peter. It'll come like a thief. He's talking about this day of the Lord. It's the same thing, same language that Zephaniah is talking about. Peter in the New Testament is using the same word and it means the same thing.
I've seen the current
Huh?
our nowadays it's
Yeah.
news to back then that the king sacrificed the son. And a lot of us and a lot of Christians, some of my co-workers, they don't teach the kid, leave the kids to church, leave the kid to whatever
Oh, yeah.
football, soccer ball, and all that. And here you are, go out instead of going to the church. And eventually, when they grow up, they don't go to church, they don't know who's for it.
Right.
And that is my way that pulling them away from God.
Yeah. That's so tricky, right? Because you, in one way, you have the direct sacrifice, like when I say sacrifice, I'll use the language, they kill the babies. That's what Zephaniah is talking about. They physically kill the babies. That's crazy. And those are heinous crimes. And that's happening today. But then there's also the spiritual sacrifice that you're talking about, Mabel, where you're killing them spiritually because you're not allowing them to know God, know Jesus. Both are a form of child sacrifice, you can say that. And both pains the heart of God to see his children especially babies, so innocent, being killed. This is just personal because I mean, I always felt this way, but because I'm studying this more, I am like, there is a revolt. I mean, there is a distaste and really disheartening and unsettledness in my heart about what we are doing. We're doing so much that, you know, you think about this child sacrifice that in America, abortion, right? And even more sinister stuff that's arising, is being exposed these days, right? You see it in the news. It is, it's no longer a just like, oh, it's a choice. Like, this is what we're doing. People of God doing, right? And Zephaniah saying that. Yeah, I don't want to be stuck on that this morning, but I do want to point it out because that's what Zephaniah is pointing out. No sugarcoat, right? The last of the last days. And he says, and he keeps it going. So he says, this is what you did. God is saying, the day of the Lord, be careful, because that day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin, devastation, day of darkness and gloom, clouds and thick darkness. I don't want to be a doom and gloom guy, but Zephaniah was. Okay. And but there's good news. But he has to set the stage. He has to tell you the truth. And that's what's happening in Zephaniah's days. And that is happening in our days as we approach the last of the last days. Right. Your wealth is not going to save you from this kind of judgment upon the Israel and upon the earth. It just ain't. I wish it would. Then we can earn as much money as we can, protect ourselves. That's what I try to do. But the word of God says, ain't going to protect you during those days. So that's prophet. I mean, these prophets, no wonder the people didn't like these prophets. They drive them out, right? Get out of town. I don't want to hear from you. No wonder these prophets are like, I don't want this job. So, what does he say? The day of the Lord is coming. He says, Zephaniah 16, right? Those who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord, inquire of him. To seek the Lord. All you humble of the land, who do his just commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of anger. So I didn't really understand this. I looked a little bit more, and the commentators kind of explained it to me. He's saying, seek the Lord, and even for those who are humble and who follow his commands, and you do seek righteousness, keep seeking. Not just for those who turned away, but for you and I, who may be already seeking, he's saying, seek all the more. Right? So we're not excused from this. Christians, seek all the more so that perhaps you may be hidden. That's how bad Zephaniah sees it. That's how bad it would be. So that you may be, perhaps you may be hidden. Then you say that's the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say? Luke says the same thing. Can you read that, Kevin, for us? Loud and clear, please.
But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
Yeah. It's the same kind of warning that Luke says, right? Stay awake. This really gets me every time, so that you may have the strength to escape. Why would he say, so you may have the strength to escape all these things? Why would you need the strength to escape? Why would you need strength to lift weights? Or lift anything. Why would you need strength? Jonathan, it's your butt band, right? Why do you need strength to lift what you lift? Because the weights are heavy. Anyone can lift this, right? But you need strength to lift the weights because the weights are heavy. Yeah. And Luke is saying, well, scripture is saying that so you may have the strength to escape because it will be heavy. It won't be that easy in those days. You need strength. So, you guys, just aligning with what you've been hearing from God lately? Aligning with what you think about? For like you said, it's very this is.
If it's strength to lift something heavy, and strength to escape the trap.
Escape the trap. Escape, you know, the scripture mentioned in many places that during the end days, many will be deceived, including the elect. If you know what that word means, including those God have chosen, including the believers. It won't be that easy to see through all the ambiguities and the lies of Satan, including me, including you. Don't think that we know. It will not be that easy. He's saying escape all the traps that the enemy will set. So that's why he's speaking to Christians. Stay awake. Stay awake. There's so much more we can go into with this, but this is a general overview.
I think it's helpful to actually be reading it. You asked if it tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely tracks for me. It's something that I know it's been coming up, you know, it's been coming up in the messages that God's giving me for the church. We didn't talk about it, Pastor James and I, but when Pastor James has been preaching, you know, he's been led to talk on the same thing. There's a bigger kingdom picture when you think about it. Sometimes we get very stuck in our life and in our kind of like day-to-day routines that we kind of forget the bigger picture of what God's already shown us. even if you don't understand kind of end times stuff, you know enough as a believer that God is going to, even in the verses right before this, this is Jesus talking.
Yeah.
Your thing, right? So even in chapter 21, right before that, that's 34, right? So he says, heaven and earth, right? The verse right before this says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Children, as they grow up in the church, know that basic. We don't even know exactly when, what are the signs, but we know that heaven and earth, everything, like, the earth is going to be destroyed before God makes it move. And all of the wickedness and all of the evil will be done away with. That's what we were created to be. And when I explain it to my kids, I'm like, they're like, what is it going to be like? You know, and some of the verbiage, you know, in the scripture is not as fun. You know, it's not as exciting, like, oh, streets are lined with gold. What do you do? You know? But really what I do to help my kids understand it is, if you remember, if you could ever imagine how perfect the garden would be. And that's God's ultimate end goal for us, right? So I think it's a really helpful thing for us to remember. Sometimes when you're like bogged down in the day-to-day, you may feel like, man, like, I just need to find ways to enjoy my life here, right? And so we get consumed with that. Man, I'm just looking for the weekend. I'm just looking for the next holiday. I'm looking for the next vacation. I'm looking for the next trip. But that's a little myopic. We're stuck in looking at the small things. So I think whenever we study this, I think it's really helpful for us to, like, see that bigger picture, that we're part of this kingdom kind of plan, that Garden of Eden is where God is taking us. And but to get to the Garden of Eden, it's going to be the day of the Lord. It's going to be unbelievably, like, painful times, scary times, deceitful times. So, yeah, I think it's like, I love, you said you love the phrase strength to escape. Like, I've always been drawn to those words, like, stay awake, you know, in verse 36.
Yeah.
You know, I think this type of class, talking about the end times.
Alexa.
I mean, you know, if you guys are interested, you know, we could take a deeper dive on that. You know, kind of like, look at what the roadmap is, you know. Yeah, I just think it's good to have this bigger picture, because we get stuck too much in our own issues and forget, like, God's, like, bigger roadmap, the 30,000 foot view.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go down. It is going to go down.
If you believe the word of the Lord is true, it's going to go down. And when it goes down, it is going to be suddenly.
Uh-huh.
Right? Suddenly. And you'd be like, whoa! And again, it's not a popular message, but it is still the message. And there is still the message of grace and hope and love and all of that there too. But this cannot be ignored, because it is just confronting my face as I'm reading the Word of God. And that I feel like it has to be driven down more and more. And I myself begin to study it more urgently ever than before. But Zephaniah has good news, because God never leaves us without an answer to what's happening in our lives and to what will happen. Yeah, stay awake. Please stay awake. That's what Jesus is saying. Stay awake, folks. Because if you're sleeping, it's coming. That's not my word. That's Zephaniah. That's Jesus' own words. So let's move on. So he goes and he says, I'm bringing judgment to Israel. I'm bringing judgment to the nations. And I highlighted some of these words to show you what how it correlates with happening today. You guys should know these cities because it's happening, right? Zephaniah doesn't understand what's going on. For Gaza shall be deserted. Well,
that's happening.
The seacoast. Where's the seacoast? That's the seacoast. This is where Goliath was from. Philistines. We talked about this. Palestinians. Philistines. Gaza. Okay? The seacoast shall become the possession of the remnant in the house of Judah. That's Zephaniah preaching. He's prophesying. This will belong to God's people. There's no ifs and buts because it's in the word of God. And God said it. And it's happening. Zephaniah 2:8-13. I have heard the taunts of Moab. They're taunting the God's people of God. So God said, I'm judging my own people, but I'm also judging those around them that's laughing and mocking at my people. I hear you. I hear you guys who mock at my people. He says, I've heard the taunts of Moab. Where's Moab? Moab is purple, right? Where's that today? You guys know? Jordan. Okay. The revelings of the Ammonites. Where's the Ammon? Right there, the orange. Where's that? Syria. Well, these are today on the news. Yeah. Stop listening. Always listening to me. Just no, I don't think so.
Syria.
Oh, Syria. Oh, yes. Always listening to me. You hear me? Sleep in Jesus now, Siri.
He's listening.
Cushites. And Assyria. Assyria is up there. That's Assyrian Empire. That's Turkey. Okay? So all these nations surrounding. Cushites is down here. Egypt. So all these people. Now I won't read it, but you know, these are judgments. This is Zephaniah prophesying against the nations during that time, and because they're always at war, and it hasn't changed. Today we are in a state of war, and it doesn't look like it's de-escalating. It only seems like it's escalating. More people are coming in to this war, right? You guys hear about Hezbollah, right? Hezbollah, right? Where are they? I think we can do some of our own research. So Hezbollah is up north, Lebanon. Right? They're coming in. So now the Israelites have to fight the north and the south. And they're fighting. They're fighting more and more. And what Zephaniah is saying, though, it's addressing that time, but prophetic literature is always connected to end times somehow. It's always speaking into the future of even Zephaniah. He doesn't know what he's speaking about. Just like when Isaiah spoke of Jesus, he didn't know he was talking about Jesus, but he's speaking to the future, and he's speaking to the people at that time. And this future is our time, speaking to us right now.
You know, what's scary is that, we just came back from Taiwan, right? And sometimes you know, we have a lot of like, we may have like a certain negative perception of like the United States or being American. But the reality is, because America was, or the United States was actually founded on, you know, Judeo-Christian values. I don't know if you guys ever heard that phrase. You guys heard that phrase before? Judeo-Christian like values. That's like basically referring to biblical values, like Jewish and Christian Protestant like values. Basically, Judeo-Christian values is like the Bible values. That is the reason why America has, not that America has not done like stupid stuff in the world, but that's one of the reasons why the United States is one of the major kind of angel countries that doesn't allow Israel to completely collapse, because we continue to sell and arm Israel with weapons, military, just like we do to a country of like Taiwan. You know, if Taiwan didn't have America's backing, you know, it's going to be like swallowed up pretty soon. And what we've been, what, you know, Bex and I are talking about a little bit is, you know, like, I don't know Taiwan politics at all. I just know about the Green Party, who's like pro like Taiwan. And then, it, you know, the Green Party, I think they won again, right? Right. So I was telling Bex, more and more people are going to forget like the past, because that's what happens. I don't know how many Americans realize that because of the values that we were founded on, we are majorly protecting Israel right now. And the scripture is really interesting in that there's these phrases that talk about the great land of the north, right? Or the great power to the east of Israel. And there's these type of phrases that says, and like a hook in their mouth, the picture is like they're being reeled in. They will be pulled in to all that's going on surrounding Israel's conflicts, right? And we're beginning to see that. Like Russia is being pulled in to this conflict that we're seeing right now in the news, right? Guess who the land of the East is, the power of the East? Who's that? The biggest land, the biggest part of land east of Israel. Huh? China. China's gonna get pulled in. China and Russia are not friends of the US, right? And once we begin to slide by forgetting the past, not to get too political and stuff, but like this is pretty wild. Like we're seeing some of the stuff like really begin to move. When Jesus says in Luke, in the same passage that you had up, right? That's a big like prophecy section that Jesus talks about. Nation against nation. Right? People around the world will be suffering, perishing. You'll see pestilence, diseases like, you know, COVID, right? And things that have to do with water, like water is getting out of hand. You know, I mean, you see, I mean, Jesus talks about it.
Bible is no longer boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may be boring during times of peace. Same. But I love studying the Bible. But now, studying the Bible is not an option. It's like, you better study it because it's getting real, really, really real. It's exciting because we know God has promised. But at the same time, it's like, wow, I'm reading this. It's happening, right? And you know, everyone's getting hold in. Why? Such a small nation. It's because of God's word. You know, Genesis, when you said that, it reminded me of Genesis 12:3, is I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Talking to the his people. Those, I mean, the reason why America is still somewhat under the grace of God is because we're blessing Israel. Because those who come against Israel, he says, I will curse you. We don't know how that plays out, but that's what he says. That's what Zephaniah is saying, right? Zephaniah is saying. So there's a lot of things that's at play. And we don't understand everything, but we know the general landscape of what is happening. And that, so thanks for bringing that up. There's the nations. It's different nations, same nations, but more nations. China, Russia, United States, all coming into the picture.
And even when you talked about deceit and stuff, right? Like we have to have strength, right? To escape the traps, right? Like what Nancy said, or, you know, I mean, scripture said that, right? It is a scary time in that, you know, like the conversations we have with Bethany at home, she has a lot of friends that are from the Middle East, right? And so, and when you also see the news, you know for a fact that the way Israel retaliated also kind of is brutal. There's brutal warfare. There's death on all sides. Death of innocents on all sides. So you can't just only be like rah, 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 pro-Israel, especially when your friends that you're trying to bring the gospel to are like, you know, speaking the cause of, you know, Hamas, right? So the deceit though that's out there, what's scary to me is like the news. Is if you spend too much time in the news, like, I mean, the basic of it is like money is power, money owns communication. If you can control communication, you can control a lot of things. And so a lot of the news that's out there, what we're hearing, it's very easy to be deceived and be like, you know, America should not support Israel, right? It's hard. It can be very confusing, I think.
That's why, and it is. It is. That's why it's not easy to escape those lies. So that's why God is encouraging us through his prophets to seek him even more so we can hear from him. So Zephaniah tells this to everyone, to his people. But Judah, the nation of Judah, still does not want him. That's why it's hard to escape the lies. Why? How do they get them? You have to ask. They are the people of God. We are the people of God. How did they get there? We're just as prone. So don't think that it's just them. You're just as prone. I'm just as prone getting there. If we do not know the truth or hold by the truth, right? And Zephaniah says that. She doesn't listen to him. She meaning Israel or Judah. You do not listen. Do not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to God, her God, right? He's not talking about the pagans now. He went back. He's talking about his people, right? She does not draw near to her God. I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction, that your dwelling will not be cut off according to all that I appointed against you, but all the more they were eager to make their deeds corrupt. They were eager to go the other way, eager to serve Baal, right? So we're not just talking small personality faults here or idiosyncrasies, talking about a falling away, right? Seeking others, seeking the enemy of God. rather than God himself. Judah does not want God, and as Zephaniah is preaching. And he goes on to say, therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up, seize the prey. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger. For in the fire of my jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. That's the day of the Lord, when his anger comes upon all people. All people. This is the God, Yahweh, declaring that. Yeah, really strong language that we should not be ignorant about. So that's Zephaniah's message. Like I said, we were supposed to get to the good part. And we are. There is hope. There's always hope, right? But we got to know what we're hoping for. There's hope. Right? You see that picture? That's a picture of hope, right? Okay. People are laughing and rejoicing and singing and praising. Because as Zephaniah writes, he will say, for at that time I will change the speech of the people to a, after the judgment, right? For that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord. What speech? Maybe everyone will be speaking Hebrew in the kingdom of God. I don't know. And they will serve him with one accord. Who is him? Right. On that day, you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exalted ones. You shall no longer be haughty in my, or proud in my holy mountain, but I will leave in your midst of people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Interesting language.
Makes me think about Jesus in the sermon
on the mount
that we went through.
What's Jesus first we went through? Chapter 5. Blessed are those who are
poor in
spirit. Speaking about Jesus, he definitely doesn't know it. Jesus came to save the oppressed, the lowly. He was very, very against, he was against the proud, those who were sitting in the throne, the human throne. Right? He came for the for those who were blind and the poor and the those who couldn't in the lame, right? Lepers came seeking for those. And God says, I'm gonna replace, don't worry, I'm gonna replace my kingdom with those people, not the ones here. I'm going to replace my kingdom with those people. And most Bible scholars see this as the millennial kingdom, when Jesus literally sits in at the throne and he governs us as we live on earth. That would be a good day. That's why they're rejoicing. Why we're not scared anymore, right? We're in good times. So Zephaniah say, judgment will come. It will be very hard. Hold on. Hold on. Seek the Lord. But when Jesus comes back, he will make things all right. But prior to that, it will not. Earlier in Zephaniah, Zephaniah says, even the mighty will cry. Strong. Strong. You're strong. The strong ones will cry because it will be rough during that time. It's very humbling and it's very sobering if you think about it. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Sing, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Oh, I never seen this verse. I love it. I have never read this part. I don't think this is new to me. I was like, wow, that's great. Who's the King of Israel, right? He doesn't know his name at that time. It's Jesus. He's the King, right? He is in your midst. He's the one who's going to take away your sins, right? Take away judgments against you. You shall never again fear evil. And I thought, why? I don't really fear evil. I fear a lot of stuff, but I don't usually say, oh, I fear ghosts. You guys fear ghosts? I used to, yeah, that's fun. I think you fear that. But I don't fear ghosts. Yeah. I don't think so. Do you guys fear evil? You do fear evil?
Well, even this morning, our family was talking about some of the, you know, I told them
that
in the youth group, there's been several years where I've had to tell the youth, like, don't watch those movies, you know, that have to do with the occult, right? Don't watch things that have to do with exorcisms and, you know, like calling on unclean spirits, because that stuff is real. And then Abby's like, okay, it's Sunday morning, I'm not ready for this, you know?
Well, Abby at first was like saying, she's like, Daddy, I was like Googling because like Alex is scared of the Headless Horseman.
I was scared too when I was young.
Abby was like, Daddy, I like Googled it. And she's like, I don't know what's so scary about it.
Right.
And then that's how we got into that whole conversation about like exorcism.
And of course we get scared of the you know, exorcist. Yeah. When you guys see the original Exorcist?
Yeah, we were talking about that.
When
too.
The girl goes, that scared me.
Yeah.
I'm still scared.
The original Exorcist.
Okay. The girl's head turned backwards. That's crazy. Now they with CGI, they move like in this. You know what I'm talking about? When they get possessed, they move quickly, right? Like and they climb on. That's scary to me. But I looked into this further. Let me answer to that. You shall never again fear evil. And I'm like, nobody really talks. Yes, we get scared and it's kind of fun to talk about. But the fear that people have these days is not because they're scared of the exorcist. They don't even see it. They're not scared of Satan. No one talks, oh, I'm scared of Satan. And I looked into this word a little bit more. Satan comes in different forms. Where is our fear today? Why are they rejoicing? Yeah, we're not scared of the horns anymore. And the evil, the spirits. No, they're rejoicing because evil manifests in this. We're deathly scared of affliction. We're deathly scared of distress. We're scared of our harm. We're scared of illnesses. We're scared of grief, calamity. We're scared of that. We do everything every day to stay away from this. Have you ever thought evil as that? That's what the enemy of God is trying to put in us every day. That's why we fear evil. Because evil is using this to put us in fear. And that's why the king will say, I'm going to save you from all of this. So you shall never again fear that you're bad. Never again fear that you have challenges. Never again feel that you're of insecurities. Never fear again that you're weak. Never fear again that you're anxious. Never fear again that you can't sleep at night or whatever. Never fear again that you're depressed. You shall never again fear evil, because those are the things that God didn't put onto us, but evil did. Sin, right? Oh, I can't. I need to be there. Right? But Zephaniah is saying, that's your hope. That's your hope. Put your eyes on the King of Israel. That's your hope. It may not be happening now in its full completion, but that is your hope. Put all your hope on there. Put all your hope in the King of Israel. He will be in your midst. He will drive everything out. You shall never again fear evil. I think that's a hope that I can safely say that we have, that no one else has outside of Christ. Because that's only the King of Israel can do that. That's comfort, right? That's comfort. So it's like, you know, the people of God, we're always in a very strange position. We know judgment's coming, but yet we have hope. It's always mixed in this. We're always in that mixture, right? But it does bring comfort. It does keep us going when hope is the most important. Hope in Jesus. That's what it really boils down to at the very end, right? And what does the King say to us? What does the King say to us, the redeemed, to you and us today? What is he saying to us? It wasn't on my it was Zephaniah 3:14-17. I sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Can somebody read verse 17 again? Zephaniah 3:17. Can you read that? I just picked apart, paraphrased what Zephaniah was really saying.
The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing.
Yeah. God does this, not even us. Usually it's like, we will sing to the Lord, right? A new song. We will love the Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. No, God saying, in that day, I will do it. I will sing over you. Did you know God sings over you? That's crazy to think about, right? He says, I love you. I sing about you. He gives you rest. He takes joy in you. Yes, we take joy in the Lord, but God's saying, I take joy in you. Thanks. Thank you for taking joy in me. But actually, I take joy in you. Wow. He says, I'm in your midst with power to save. So it's like Zephaniah ends really with, God will do it for you. God will sing over you, even when you can't sing to him. That's very comforting, because I don't always want to sing. But God sings, even when you can. Amen to that, right? When you can't sing, God sings over you. When you can't rest, find that rest, he says, I give you rest in my love. And you have no joy, think about that. God has joy, takes joy in you. He says, I'm taking joy in you who are not always joyful. But I take joy in you. A comfort in that. And that's what Zephaniah is saying. Yeah, I want to comfort you. This is what God wants to say to those who belong to him. He ends with this. And this is all pointing to King Jesus. It's beautiful language, but he ends it. kind of make me like him a little bit more. Right? Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, our King, Savior. We long for the day that we can see you face to face. We long for the day that we can see you in our midst. We can touch you, we can be with you, and your love covers all of us. We thank you because your spirit does that right now. But we still long for the day we can physically be there with you. And you give us that hope. You say that you'll sing over us. And then you give us rest, and no more shall we, and we will fear no more. Because there's nothing to fear when we are with you. Evil does not surround you, but you cast evil out. And we long for that day, because there will be nothing to fear, only everything to be enjoyed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us. For those that you have chosen, thankful that I'm chosen. We're thankful that we're chosen to be in your house, and so glad that we can understand your word. You open our eyes and ears and hear your word and understand it and receive it and eat it. And enjoy it and love it. That's all because of what your spirit in us have done in our lives. So thank you. Thank you for forgiving our sins and our humanness. Yeah. Despite that, you continue to love us, continue to speak to us, to warn us of the coming days, coming judgment. You will not leave us alone. To fend for ourselves, but you are mighty to save. You will be with us, and we take heed of these warnings from your prophet, and begin to seek you even more in these last days. Pray all this in Jesus' name.